AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Five Memphis police officers are on the other side of the law today, in jail and facing murder charges for a deadly traffic stop earlier this month. CBS's Bradley Blackburn has details.
Five former Memphis police officers who encountered Tyre Nichols during a violent traffic stop are now in police custody. Court documents show they are facing felony charges. Nichols was pulled over on January 7th, accused of reckless driving. He died from his injuries 3 days later. Nichols' mother has seen video of the encounter.
All I heard my son say was, "What did I do?"
The officers were fired last week for breaking protocol during that stop. In South Carolina, we're now hearing the initial police response in Alex Murdaugh's double murder case. The former lawyer is accused of killing his wife and 22-year-old son.
Did you check them?
We got medical guys that are, that's what they're going to do, okay?
What are they doing? Can they hurry?
They are, yes, sir. That gentleman that was out here already, he's one of the battalion chiefs, okay?
Police testified in court today. Murdaugh was crying, but they didn't see actual tears. Prosecutors believe he murdered his family to distract from financial crimes. The FBI has helped break up a big ransomware gang known as The Hive. FBI Director Christopher Wray.
Going after their infrastructure, going after their crypto, going after the people who work with them here, getting the keys and making those available. But it also includes hunting people down.
He says the network targeted victims worldwide. An FDA panel is weighing in to whether to make COVID vaccines a yearly shot. Here's CBS's Michael George.
FDA scientists say many Americans now have sufficient pre-existing immunity because of vaccination, previous infection, or a combination of both, giving them what should be enough protection to move to annual boosters. The agency is also considering transitioning to a single vaccine composition rather than different configurations for the primary series and booster doses.
NASA paid tribute to astronauts who died in the line of duty.
I'm Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center. The ceremonies come almost 20 years to the day that Shuttle Columbia broke apart during reentry. Its seven crew members were killed just 16 minutes before their scheduled landing.
Michael P. Anderson.
Columbia investigation found that NASA's acceptance of problems with the shuttle helped lead to the accident. Four-time shuttle astronaut Bob Cabana says today's NASA is much different.
When something isn't right, we take action and we actually listen to what people are saying and do the right thing.
24 other men and women were also remembered with the toll of the bell. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. If you still need help with the rent and utilities after the COVID-19 pandemic, you must apply before January 31st. The Wisconsin Emergency Rental Assistance Program helped Wisconsin families with more than $500 million in rent and utility bills over the past 2 years. While the funds temporarily helped with rising housing costs, in addition to complications from the pandemic, it is not a permanent solution. The federal funding is nearly gone and the program is coming to an end. If you don't have broadband where you live, now is the time to correct the map. The FCC's draft of the national broadband map can be challenged by anyone, so check your address to see if they think you have services that aren't available to you. Federal funding will be allocated to build up the broadband infrastructure to make sure that everyone has access. Visit broadbandmap.gov. I'm Jane Matnair for Civic Media News.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work alongside Civic Media's amazing sales team to create a custom radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. The $1 million advertising giveaway today only. There are some rules. Go to civicmedia.us/million.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at WAUK Radio. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents, a Thursday edition of some tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, he's Brian Kelly. How you doing, big guy?
I'm all right. It's not just any Thursday. It's the better enjoy the snow while you can Thursday. It's a, what else is going on today, Thursday? Oh, yeah, we're doing the $1 million giveaway.
Yeah.
We're doing the, and it launched this morning to a barrage, a barrage of people. It seems to be going very well. I don't want to throw out any things. I've just got to tell you, go to civicmedia.us/million. And sign up right away because they are. It is going fast.
There is a lot of interest in the advertising that we are giving away today, Brian.
Yeah, we're giving. If you haven't heard, or for some reason have been living under a rock, Civic, because we've been blasting it everywhere. Civic Media is giving away $1 million in free advertising, and if you're a business of any kind whatsoever, just go to civicmedia.us/million. And you can sign up today only, and you can sign up to have your ads run on Civic Media. I know a couple of friends of mine who've done so, there's a lot of people around the state doing so. It's a thing you should take advantage of. It's a month of free advertising. Why not try it and see if it works for you? So, yeah, tell them Dueling Tangent sent you.
I was going to say, that's the most important thing today.
There is a drop-down, yeah. again, I've used a lot of tactics to go and get people to sell, but right now all I got to tell you is, you know, if you're listening on Dueling Tangents, you hear about this, go down and check it out. Scroll down and hit Dueling Tangents when they ask you what show you heard it on, and get it in there quick. Cause
we are but 1 hour on this network, Brian, but we are a mighty hour.
Listen, let's go down the list. I mean, we've gotten Ron Johnson's people to tweet in real time in response to what we talked about.
We finally got Frederick Prenn to resign from the Natural Resources Board. I'm going to take credit for
our campaign. Yeah, I might as well. Our campaign to remove Fred Prenn really helped out.
Mm-hmm.
We closed his dental practice years before we even started the show. So that part was really awesome. We're powerful.
This is some George Santos-esque like bragging rights.
Honestly, I got to give a lot of credit to George Santos. He's really been a friend and a mentor.
Just
to
a pioneer. Yes, a pioneer here on Dueling Tangents.
Yeah.
But yes,
he actually was a pioneer. He actually came out and settled half of Wisconsin.
He is now amending those FCC or FEC federal. I forget which agency oversees it. That he's FEC filing.
Not gonna be an agency anymore when the Republicans take over, huh?
He's got some questions to answer about that $700,000 personal loan that he lent his campaign, but he's not answering those questions. But we've got some headlines here that we're gonna jump into closer to home, Brian. But again, it is the $1 million advertising giveaway. Take advantage, one day only. Let them know that Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian sent you. And get a portion of the $1 million in free advertising we are giving away today only. If you're listening to this in a podcasted version tomorrow, I'm so sorry. You missed the chance. But if you're listening live today or listening to a podcast later in the day on Thursday, January 26th, as a gentleman waves to me through the Solidarity Realty Studios windows here on Madison's
New York. I'm pretty sure that gentleman just signed up.
Yeah, maybe. But you can head over to the website.
That's the only reason to be so happy today.
There's only a couple more hours left in the day. You're going to want to not miss your chance to sign up and be a portion of the giveaway. And there's been some real intense, you know, friendly competition going on, Bri.
Yeah.
Todd Alba earlier on his show showed up in a suit coat and a bow tie for his Ooh. Show with the yeah, he was doing the whole bit, the $1 million giveaway. And
I think Todd's just trying to did he tell you to mention that? Because I think he's just trying to drop subtle hints a lot.
No, but he called us
when
out.
I was in the office last. he said, should I wear like a suit? Because I was in just my jumpsuit, because I'm like, I'm going to crawl around and get wires and be in the middle of a shack. So yeah. I'm going to put together something in the middle of a shack. I'm wearing that outfit. And he's like, I think I'm going to dress up. I guess, you know, again, one more thing. Dueling Tangents is influencing people to dress up.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
We took on the friendly wager of a six-pack of favorite Wisconsin brew for whose show does better today during the giveaway. So if you like Todd, you can also say
yet?
The Todd Alba Show. Have I opened what? No.
Have you opened it yet?
He hasn't purchased it yet for us, but we'll get there soon.
Oh, okay. I'm just...
It's a great friendly competition. We're really excited to have all the small businesses that are signing up today to get the chance to work with the Civic Media sales team, craft a message that will work for their small business, and to broadcast it across the state of Wisconsin on a Civic Media radio station closest to them. Because it's not just Madison and Waukesha, it's all around the state. Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, mm-hmm. Green Bay, Oshkosh, everywhere. We are popping up all around Wisconsin.
From everywhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So civicmedia.us/million. And Brian, thinking about something that's going on for all Wisconsinites. We've got a state Supreme Court race coming up in just about 4.5 weeks. February 21st will be the primary election for the state Supreme Court race, and it's coming up quick.
The ads have already begun. I've seen Janet Protasiewicz everywhere and billboards around when I drive around in the Milwaukee town to Waukesha. She's been running for like 14 years, so... Or it seems so, anyway. At least in political years, she's
all these election cycles get drawn out longer and longer.
She announced
longer.
A long time ago, yeah. But she's been out ahead of the game, and she's doing a great job because everybody knows about her.
And I mean, nothing was as bad as Tom Nelson launching before the 2020 race that he was running against Ron Johnson, and that one was tough. That was a campaign that went really, really long. So these cycles are only getting longer and longer, Brian, but this one's pretty abbreviated. And yes, it may seem like it's been going on for a real long time, but I think that's a little bit of the jet lag from the fact that the November midterms wrapped up so close to this one getting underway and starting to gain steam. Yeah. And we have four candidates across the political spectrum. It is a nonpartisan race, but there is still a partisan spectrum that these candidates get judged on. And I think it's going to be it's a four-way race, and it's hard to tell right now which way this race is going to shake down. There are two conservative-leaning candidates, two liberal-slash-progressive-leaning candidates. And today we have a news story out about an interesting dynamic. And so we don't want to speculate. That is one thing we don't do here at Dueling Tangents. We try to lay out the facts. We try to discuss these
issues. If we do speculate, we'll clearly tell you we're speculating, or we'll attribute it to George Santos. But this one, I'm not going to joke about. Let's get into the facts.
Yeah, so Daniel Bice with a piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A UWM student died of fentanyl poisoning. Here's why his family has questions for Supreme Court candidate Jennifer Darrow. Now, Jennifer Darrow was the presiding judge for the Darryl Brooks Jr. case that was widely televised, the Waukesha Parade tragedy, last fall. And with that pretty quick celebrity, she then launched a campaign for this
state Supreme Court race that is coming up with its primary in just a matter of weeks. And Brian, and
to be clear, if I was her and I was in her position and I ever thought about running for that, that was the exact time to do it, because you're not going to have any more ripe of a time than that to do so. So again, from my point of view, good job. Keep going, please.
So she, a lot of people speculated at the time while the trial was going on that she would be running, and lo and behold, she announced her candidacy pretty quickly after that verdict was rendered in Waukesha County Court. And Daniel Bice now outlines a what I think is, I think it is an important aspect for how the criminal justice system in Wisconsin can be different for depending on who you are. And so the details of the story surrounds the reason why it's being talked about now, not only because Judge Darrow is running for state Supreme Court, but at a recent political nonpartisan campaign event for this seat, she was confronted by the father of a student at UW-Milwaukee that passed away due to fentanyl poisoning back in November of 2021. And when asked and told who she was receiving questions from, the candidate left in a hurry, Brian. And it seems interesting that there hasn't been more developments in this story over the 15 months that the UW-Milwaukee Police Department have investigating the events surrounding this fentanyl poisoning. And
now,
go ahead.
Why did the father of this victim confront Judge Darrow?
Because it seems that Judge Darrow's son may have had a potential connection with this father's son that has since passed away. And it seems like the two had a relationship at UWM and knew each other, but there hasn't been a whole lot of progress made in investigating the fentanyl poisoning for this individual 15 months ago. And so this father is looking for closure, looking for answers, looking for resolution, it seems. And we're going to continue giving you updates with what's going on in this story. There's been statements out on behalf of Judge Darrow and some of the students that were involved back on UWM's campus in November of 2021. But Brian, it's very interesting when you view this through the lens of the criminal justice system, the courts, and justice here in Wisconsin. Because the Supreme Court is what is on the ballot this February and April. And I think we got to talk about this story.
Yeah, and we're gonna give you details from the actual article itself, because I don't want to speculate.
Yeah.
I want to give you exactly what has been reported. So we'll come back with that, and we're going to have a great time. Either way, give us a call. Let us know what you think. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Money, it's a crime.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Snow showers likely at times this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies. Highs around 31, winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 15 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. Snow showers likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 33. Overcast skies. 2 to 4 inches of snow today through Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He's Brian. You're listening to the program across Civic Media. If you want to join us, share a tangent, 844-967-2789. And Brian, $1 million advertising giveaway taking place one day only, today, across Civic Media. Go to the website, civicmedia.us/million. And we're discussing right now an article written up by Daniel Bice over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, outlining the events that took place here in Madison at a campaign event for Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro in her bid for the Wisconsin Supreme Court earlier this month. And so reading from the piece, as Bice outlines, Wanakee resident David Reddington never thought he'd get a chance to ask state Supreme Court candidate Jennifer Doro directly about the fentanyl death of his son, Cade. But there they were on January 10th at Pedro's Mexican Restaurant in Madison. Reddington, a semi-retired independent insurance adjuster, had arrived for dinner and Doro was speaking at a Dane County Republican Party Pints and Politics gathering. Near the end of the event, Reddington introduced himself to Doro, a Waukesha County judge, who is one of the four candidates running for Supreme Court in next month's primary. After a bit of small talk, Reddington said he got to the point of the conversation. Quote, "Look, I want you to know who I am. I'm David Reddington, the father of Cade Reddington." Reddington said Doro withdrew immediately and said, "I'm not talking to you," shortly before exiting the restaurant. So that was the nature of the events that unfolded at this political gathering that the candidate did not want to even have a discussion in private or anything like that with this individual that was, again, in my opinion, looking for closure. And Bice goes on to detail throughout this article accounts of the Reddington family reaching out to Doro in an attempt not to accuse or anything of that nature, but to try to get some assistance in moving along the 15-month investigation into his son Cade's fentanyl poisoning from November of 2021.
Yeah. I don't fault anyone for having a son that has any sort of drug issues. This happens all the time, especially with parents with high prominent jobs. Her husband works for the Department of Homeland Security, from what I understand. She's a judge. It's, you know, having parents in those positions, there's a lot of rebellion and things like that. The kid's like between 20 and 22 years old.
He was an 18-year-old. He was an 18-year-old freshman.
Now he's like...
Oh, at the time, yeah, of these events, I believe he was 18.
But point is that... one, you're going to... you're going to run for Supreme Court, right? You're going to know that this is going to come out. Because it's public record, and then you can figure this out. And people are clearly willing to talk and wanting to talk in public about it. So you have to know this is coming. So if this is what you got when you know that these things are coming, I don't know that that's a really good political strategy, one. Two, the things that Daniel Bice brings up aren't necessarily that, oh, this kid's a jerk or whatnot, but one, who's paying for the attorney for her son? How does that get worked out? This poses ethical questions as far as, you know, the justice goes. Did she, there was a situation where there was a picture up with the kids, her son with the deceased kid's, you know, hand,
his arm, his arm around the neck of the deceased individual.
And that was since deleted. Was that under the advisement of one of the parents? Probably, but is this legal counsel? Is this, you know, ethical counsel? Is this trying to save face or whatnot? How does this work out? This is the ethical question that gets raised, and that's the problem. It's not that there is an ethical problem. The problem is you have to prove there isn't one now.
Well,
you know what I mean?
In a statement earlier today, Judge Darrow put out saying, I understand that by putting my name on the ballot, I invited scrutiny about myself and my actions. My children aren't running for office, and they and every candidate's kids should be off limits. We need to restore a sense of decency in our elections. And
isn't she supported by the Hunter Biden crowd? Just saying.
That's an interesting dynamic. I think,
you know,
it's,
what I mean?
If the shoe was on the other foot, Brian, do you believe that conservative candidates would be going after liberal candidates for similar for a similar story? Because
one, absolutely. Absolutely. But two, you brought up something else, and we'll talk about this when we come back, but not a sides issue, but what about, like, I don't know, other people that had to deal with something with fentanyl, like Quadrin Wilson. You brought him up.
Yeah. In preparing for the show, fentanyl is a major problem across the country right now. Here in Wisconsin and across the country, fentanyl is a public health crisis in many regards. And the fact that when fentanyl is involved in a story, in some instances, it draws out to be a 15-month investigation. And in other instances, it ends up with an unarmed black man shot five times in the back. I think it's important to talk about how the criminal justice system and how individuals are investigated. And I believe everybody is innocent until proven guilty. I'm not trying to speculate that I think that there was any wrongdoing by the judge, by the judge's son. Even if there was,
how she handles that situation is what is the issue at hand here. Not necessarily her son.
Right.
Did her son get a leg up in the justice system because he was her son? That's what's at issue.
There are two criminal justice systems here in Wisconsin and in the United States of America. And I think when you discuss stories that involve fentanyl, there is a stark contrast between those two systems of justice. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian. You can give us a call, 844-967-2789.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. Five former Memphis police officers have been charged with murder and other offenses in connection with the beating death of Tyree Nichols during a traffic stop. CBS's Elise Preston has more on their charges.
At least one of them is facing second-degree murder, aggravated kidnapping, aggravated assault, official misconduct, and official oppression.
A network of international ransomware hackers has been broken up with the help of the FBI. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Hive affiliates targeted critical infrastructure and some of our nation's most important industries.
Not just here in the U.S., but around the world, too. GDP was up a solid 2.9% last quarter. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Despite fears of a slowdown, the U.S. economy was alive and well in the fourth quarter of last year. GDP, or gross domestic product, expanded at a 2.9% annualized pace. That was a bit ahead of expectations.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The State Bar of Wisconsin says the shortage of prosecutors and public defenders is a constitutional crisis. The lawyers group says the right to a fair and speedy trial in Wisconsin is at stake. WisPolitics.com reports 24 district attorneys in Wisconsin have left office before their terms expired in the past 4 years. The public defender's office says it's about 20% short-staffed. New drivers in Wisconsin got to skip their road tests during the pandemic. Now, the DMV wants to make its driving test waiver permanent. The DMV says 87% of new drivers got a waiver since May of 2020. There's plenty of concern that not testing new drivers on the road is making driving more dangerous. In sports, the Bucks beat Denver last night 107-99. Maryland shelled the Badgers 73-55. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
And work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Everybody.
Slapping the bass, man.
We're slapping the bass around here, and we're reclaiming this song, because, by the way, this used to be the intro for the Celebrity Apprentice.
Really? I think I can say with confidence, I don't believe I've ever watched an episode of The Apprentice. Never once. Never saw the appeal.
You never saw the what?
I never saw the appeal to the show. Like, I was not interested one bit.
So it was just something that Amy and I were watching. This is earlier on in our relationship when we had copious amounts of time. Now we don't, which is fine. So we pick and choose. So we actually have some. But now we're like, let's watch that and that and that. And that sounds great. So we were watching The Celebrity Apprentice for like a season or two. And it shouldn't be like this, but it actually gave me insight into Trump's presidency.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Like, and then especially when I went back and found out that the executive producer, who's also the executive producer for a whole bunch of different shows, Survivor and namely Big Brother, one of my favorites, essentially made Donald Trump who he was, because Donald Trump never paid attention to any of the contests, never paid attention to anything during the week. Just basically went to the boardroom and then listened to people babble to him, and then he just decided who he was going to fire. And then they would...
Just whoever talked to him last, essentially. Whoever.
Yeah, but then they would reverse edit the entire show to make it look like that person was an idiot or deserved to be fired or justify that person getting fired.
Yeah.
And they edit out all the parts where the people were talking bad about that one person and then show those. It's amazing how these things work. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, money, because we are giving away some money today, Brian. $1 million to be exact. In the $1 million advertising giveaway that is taking place today only. Portal opened at 9 a.m., but it's still open right now. You can go to civicmedia.us/million. Yeah, time is running out. So you want to go over to the website, let them know that let Civic Media know that Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian sent you, and you can sign up to win a portion of the $1 million in free advertising our sales team is giving away. So civicmedia.us/million. And Brian, before we jump back to the story, let's head over to the phone lines. We got Bob in Sauk City calling in. Bob, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, hi guys. Sauk City Bob here.
How you doing today, Bob?
Welcome.
Oh, pretty good. Say, I'm really glad you're talking about the Jennifer Darrow story that Daniel Bice put in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I think Darrow should immediately withdraw from the Supreme Court race. Immediately.
Yeah, and why do you believe that, Bob?
Because, first of all, she's a perfect example of the hypocritical conservative. They all conservatives say they believe in law and order and cracking down on drugs. And it's pretty clear when you read the story that her son is a drug dealer. There's no question about it.
Well, it seems like the UW-Milwaukee police are still investigating this event that led to the untimely death of an 18-year-old student at UW-Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And
how long have they been investigating?
For 15 months. This was November of 2021. Yeah. This incident took place.
Right. So you know what they're doing. They're protecting Darrow. She's the hero judge of the Waukesha Christmas Parade. They don't want anything to besmirch her. They're protecting her.
And we don't know that for sure, Bob, but it does. It seems to be that the UW-Milwaukee Police Department is at a crossroads right now with this story coming out. And this probably is speculation because I believe there will be more public pressure. This was a big story when it came out. UW-Milwaukee's campus added Narcan boxes to campus dorms in the aftermath of this event because I believe there was a second fentanyl poisoning, not related to the events of this one, but they were very close on campus that fall, and UWM overhauled its procedures for how to deal with fentanyl overdoses in lieu of this event. 15 months later, I have a feeling there will be more public pressure to find out the details that led to Cade Reddington's untimely death in November of 2021.
Now, I want to be very, 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 very clear. We are not saying that he is a drug dealer.
No.
I'm not saying he is because I don't have proof of that. This is what the reporting leads you to believe. However, my point is not whether he's a drug dealer or not. I don't honestly care. I would love him because again, a lot of times the drug dealers are in between of fentanyl as well. And they don't know that they're giving something wrong out either. There's so many go-betweens with these things. Anyway, there's so many different circumstances here. I'm not going to go down every road. My point is that it's not that she has a son that is involved with drugs. It's whether that son is getting special treatment or a different set of justice compared to everybody else. Because that she is a justice and
because she is a judge,
like Bob alluded to, are they covering for her? And is this about covering for her? Is this about getting justice? And that ethical question we need to talk about when we're talking about the Supreme Court justice, not whether her son is a drug dealer or not. That's beside the point. It's how it's dealt with in these circles and how justice is served in these situations. And if her son possibly could give more information. That's what they're actually looking for. The father was looking for is, can you give more information where you got them? If you are the dealer, where did you get them? So we can find the person who brought the fentanyl into this country.
And from Bice's reporting in the Journal Sentinel, on November 30th, Reddington's family sent a letter to Darrow's Waukesha County courtroom asking her to help out in the case by doing what she could to get her son to meet with authorities to declare his innocence or provide cops with the names of drug distributors in the area. So I don't think the Reddington family is trying to accuse anyone of wrongdoing. I think they are searching for answers, and they are not receiving cooperation from individuals that may be able to shed some light and help find those answers. And the question you ask yourself then is why? Let's head back over to the phone lines. We got Jeannie and Eau Claire calling in. Jeannie, what's on your mind today?
Hi, guys. Outstanding show today. I first heard about this whole situation this morning on Earl's show. And we don't even know about this on our side of the state. So a lot of times things that go on your side of the state never even get a minute's notice. But I found out, I find this very alarming to me as far as the highest court in the state of Wisconsin, which this seat will be sat in for 10 years. And besides that, we do not have a great recusal statements or policies or ethics on our Supreme Court as it stands today. And to me, this is very disconcerting because I feel that when you go for the Supreme Court justice, we don't want any illusions or delusions or whatever you want to call it of improprieties or protecting our loved ones, and we need clean judges without any issues to be on that highest court that will be making decisions for the for that impact all of the courts and all of the laws and everything in our state. So thank you for bringing this up. I have concerns about this. I think maybe she should wait for a while till this issue is cleaned up. 10-year seat is a long time if there, this is an issue and it will impact any decisions you make in the future. Thanks, guys. You're doing an outstanding job. Thank you. Bye.
Absolutely, Jeannie. Really appreciate your phone call. You could be like Jeannie, 844-967-2789. And Brian, I mean, Jeannie does speculate to a large implication of what this Supreme Court seat means. 10 years is a long time. And there are important decisions that voters will need to make on who they send to this seat through the February primary on February 21st and in the April general election on April 4th. There are consequences to elections.
To that end, I would because I don't want her to drop out. I honestly don't. I two things. One, that it's in 4 weeks, so you're going to find out anyway. Two, you'll get a little bit more of a reading as to what the people think about this and how much people actually care about this, because that'll give you more information. But three, I'm hoping, and this is what I'm hoping, that she said that she ran away from the father of the victim here because she legally did not want to be able to compromise herself, or that there's an ongoing investigation she can't talk about. I'm hoping that she is not giving as much information because she can't, and I believe, and I'm hoping that her son is cooperating, but in such a back channel that they can't say anything. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that the benefit of the doubt is there. And I'm hoping that actually comes out, because if we get, again, if this piece, again, Daniel Bice has been accused of making hit pieces and stuff. It's just the guy's reporting on things that actually happen. If this moves the needle on getting justice for this these people who have died of fentanyl overdoses and maybe gets the people who are distributing fentanyl in jail, great. How this affects the Supreme Court race, I'd like to see this resolved sooner than later, or at least get a little bit more clarity on the situation. But again, you have to call into question now the possible... Again, we don't really know much about this woman other than she happened to be the justice that caught the Brooks case.
She was the judge assigned the Darrow Brooks Jr. case and somewhat sprung into
state and national fame because of presiding over that case. Yes. Go ahead.
The last thing is the reason I want her to stay in is because of 6,000 votes. Brian Hagedorn won his seat by 6,000 votes. I mean, any and all things are at play here.
What do you mean by that? Because
I know that Brian Hagedorn is more of a he's painted himself as more of a moderate, although he has written some pretty interesting things in the past. But I think a lot of his moderation came from the fact that he barely squeaked through. You know, I think he realized that, you know, in order to really deliver on what was asked of him, if we're talking about people being justices, it happened, you know, in a really small margin, and maybe that affected how he judges things. I don't know, guys. We got to take everything into account.
Well, and the important thing to recall is there will be two individuals moving on from the spring primary. So in February, there will be two candidates. So as you said, voters will have the chance to determine whether or not this is a either problem or not when it comes to how they view the candidate, Judge Jennifer Darrow, for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I wish I had as, and maybe I'm becoming more cynical in age, Brian, but I wish I had I thought I'd get you good with that one. I wish I had as optimistic view. Because 15 months is a really long time for an investigation like this to continue. And the fact that this family has been awaiting answers for 15 months and been essentially, to this point, it sounds like stonewalled. David Reddington by the UW-Milwaukee police has been told not to get too close to this investigation, to let the professionals handle it, and he's been sitting for 15 months without answers. And if there was somebody that had answers, I would be going to the ends of the earth to find those answers. And so I hope that you're correct, that the lack of cooperation there, the lack of coordination, is because that is the way that the legal system needs to unfold for these investigations.
I hope.
But I don't know if I'm as optimistic as you, big guy. That's all I'm going to say today. And like I said, maybe it's a little cynicism with age. Who knows?
We'll take a lap next when we get back.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We'll continue the conversation when we return.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Douglas LaFollette, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country, in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 15. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour.
Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Snow showers likely at times. Daytime highs approaching 33. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. A few flurries possible at times. 16. 1 to 3 inches of snow tomorrow through Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Hope.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Brian Kelly. And we here today on Civic Media are giving away $1 million so that money can talk. Head over to the website, civicmedia.us/million. You can learn more about the giveaway. There are a few rules and restrictions, so you'll sign up. You'll enter in your information for your small business and be entered to win a portion of the $1 million that we are giving away in free advertising today, one day only. And you could be like our friend Hawk Sullivan, owner and proprietor of Hawk's Bar on State and several other local watering holes here in Madison. We'll work with you to craft a message about your bar or small business, whatever it may be. But we can come up with fun little things like suck down drinks so we don't have to suck, like Hawk includes in all of his ads now. That was the product of a fun
harmonization.
Yeah, it was the product of a fun creative session with Hawk and yourself, Brian, and me. And we came up with, I think, a very great ad, and we have a fun time airing those. And we thank Hawk for his sponsorship here on Dueling Tangents. But Bri, it's going to be a lot of fun working with all these small businesses that are signing up today to be a part of the $1 million advertising giveaway. My phone's just blowing up. Everybody is signing up.
Do it now. There's only a finite amount of things we can do and a finite amount of ad space and a finite amount of things. So when it's gone, guys. So
yeah, if you want a piece of the creative juices that Brian and I like to just put out there in the world to get some tangents, sign up.
We might be able to tangent for you.
Have there you go.
That's it for you. Which reminds me,
that's a tagline.
I have a friend. thank you for coming here. I have a timeshare presentation I'm about to give you. All right. So yeah, we have some things that we'd like to also brag about. Moving on from the Judge Jennifer Doro situation, I found an interesting couple of interesting headlines. Let's brag about some things.
Let's
right?
do it. Let's do it.
Here's an interesting headline at the Madison, the AP News. Sorry, this is posted by AP News. Wisconsin governor takes total control of resources agency.
Wow,
that's an interesting head. That's a funny way of saying that Fred Prynne isn't in the way.
Well, there are two new appointees because the next one that was supposed to leave the board after Fred Prynne was supposed to leave the board, they stepped down because they were like, oh well. Fred's gone, and doesn't really matter now if I overstay my welcome. I might as well just, you know, observe the way that our democracy works here, and my term says that it ended, so I'm going to end my term and not play this weird game of constitutional chicken with the executive branch and saying, nuh-uh, you can't appoint me, you can't replace me, I'm gonna sit here and stay a while.
And well, when you don't have someone being really childish to lead the way and take all the heat, it kind of seems childish when it falls on you. It's so funny how the dominoes just fall right down.
Yeah,
it's like when you punch a bully in the face and they run away crying. It's crazy.
Violence against bullies.
Talks and talks is asked to go on put up or shut up, and then they don't talk anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, Brian. And I mean, I would never punch you in the face, even though you like to bully me from time to time. But that's okay.
No, I'm sure I could get you to. I don't want to push you there, but it's not.
This is an interesting the fact that Fred Prynne sat on that board for 20 months. 20 months overstayed his welcome, and then it gets the headline. Wisconsin governor takes control.
He was into like 2T size already.
Yes. It was a prolonged refusal to leave. And
his overstay could learn was in the range of being able to learn how to walk.
It was almost the same length as an assembly term here in the state of Wisconsin. And the mailman
the work involved in that 20 months was really just down to like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But the mailman must be at the residence there, Brian, because Daisy is just going wild.
You see, Daisy's really excited about the $1 million giveaway, and she's telling everybody that if you don't sign up right now, your space could be gone. Just check it out.
It's true.
Go to civicmedia.us/million. See, she's right here.
There she is. Nope, she's gone now. There she is. If you're watching on the Facebook live stream, you get to see her.
She's literally directly behind me, and I can't get her.
she's just being tough. But, Brian, speaking of money, like we're giving away $1 million, it seems like Wisconsin's surplus just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Wait, I thought they already had a budget surplus of like $6.4 billion.
And now, according to reporting over at the Cap Times by Jesse Apoyan, it's now projected to exceed $7.1 billion.
The best is yet to come. It's about $500,000 more than Tony Evers projected in November. And he was trying to brag. Wow.
Jeez.
It's crazy.
This is insane. This surplus is just going and going again. Again, does it just mean that we weren't collecting these taxes properly under the former administrations? Because it's not like there were any new taxes raised. It begs the question.
Or perhaps maybe seeding the ground with money for new businesses to grow to capture more revenue from the businesses growing that could possibly lead to the growth of the economy. But possibly ones that maybe, I don't know, don't fall under some big giant corporate conglomerate tax bracket where they don't actually pay any taxes. Maybe that could be it. I'm told, and again, we only have summer a couple months out of the year, but what I'm told is that if you only water one part of the lawn, that's the only part of the lawn that'll grow. But if you water the whole lawn looks really good. I don't know. It's crazy.
It's weird. The Biden administration working on bringing manufacturing back to America, and the Republicans in Congress voting against that, but then focusing on entrepreneurship and small business growth has led us to where we are. But no, Brian, let's not overconflate things. I think the Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature putting their feet up last March and just watching all this happen around them is really what led to the economic momentum that we are experiencing right now as a state.
I don't know. Maybe they should ask their own legislative fiscal bureau, because that's who released the study that says we're $7.1 billion surplus, $500,000, I'm sorry, ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony Evers, once again.
Man, he's delivering, and it's the start of his second term, Governor Tony Evers. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. But the biggest takeaway from today's show, it's the $1 million advertising giveaway, folks. Go to our website. You can check out the podcast there, but you can also sign up to receive a portion of the $1 million we are giving away in advertising. So sign up online. Only hours left. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to y'all then.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.